I had a speech teacher that said you should never apologize or make excuses if you make a speech, but I passed that class, so I can pretty much say I'm sorry right now. So. But I'm going to speak today in almost a metaphorical sense, because that is the way Max speaks.
What does that mean?
I'm sorry?
I have no idea what that is.
Basically, I'm going to preach like John, a whole lot of words, you're not going to understand. Okay? That's all I'm you know, it's going to be a really collective type of thing. I'm going to get you lost, I'll bring you back. I'll get you lost, I'll bring you back. I'll hook you, and then we'll go.
What is it collective?
You never had that.
I think that when you pull the switch, the clicky comes and turns the lights on. See, but first I'd like to read a couple of things out of church bulletins. My dad's wife, Melvin, sent this to me a while back, and I've been wanting to use them. And there's probably 50 of them here, but I'll use some of the best ones that I think that make a lot of sense. Now, the topic is, they're back, church bulletins, thank God for church ladies with typewriters. These sentences actually appeared in church bulletins or were announced in church services. The first one, the fasting and prayer conference includes meals. Okay. The sermon this morning, Jesus walking on water. The sermon tonight, searching for Jesus. Our youth basketball team is back in action on Wednesday at 8 p.m. in the recreation hall. Come out and watch us kill Christ the King. does anybody proofread this stuff? Ladies, don't. This makes a lot of sense when we used to have the rummage sales and the parking lot sales. Ladies, don't forget the rummage sale. It's a chance to get rid of those things not worth keeping around the house. Pray for husbands. Don't let worry kill you off. Let the church help. Remember in prayer the many who are sick of our community. Smile at someone who is hard to love. Say hell to someone who doesn't care much about you. Miss Charlene Mason sang, "I will not pass this way again," giving obvious pleasure to the congregation. I should have one for Debbie Lev. For those of you who have children and don't know it, we have a nursery downstairs. Oh, man. The rector will preach his farewell message, after which the choir will sing, "Bring forth into joy." let's see, let's give a couple of these. Scouts are saving aluminum cans, bottles, and other items to be recycled. Proceeds will be used to cripple children. Potluck supper Sunday at 5 p.m. Prayer and dedication to follow. The ladies of the church have cast off clothing of every kind. They may be seen in the beast on Friday. God bless the Bible Belt. This evening at 7 p.m. there will be hymn singing in the park across from the church. Bring a blanket and come prepared to sin. Michelle, this is for you guys right here. Ladies Bible study will be held Thursday morning at 10 a.m. All the ladies are invited to lunch in the fellowship hall after the BS is done. Low self-esteem support group will meet Thursday at 7 p.m. Please use the back door.
Low self-esteem group will meet on Thursday. Please use the back door.
Oh, man. It's dark for sale, by the way. Oh, man. Weight Watchers will meet at 7 p.m. at the First Presbyterian Church. Please use the large double door.
These are ministers.
And this is the best one. John would appreciate this. The associate minister unveiled the church's new tithing campaign slogan last Sunday. I up my pledge, up yours. Oh, man. John's not here to read us all in, so we're going to have a good time. I read that every once in a while. I have it on my laptop, and just cracks me up every time. There's a bunch more on there. Next time I get a chance to speak, if I do, I'll bring some more in. Let me see. Okay. My message has a lot to do with what I love doing. I like to cook. But the best part about cooking for me is the preparation of cooking. Steve has spent a lot of time with me in the past, and he can probably attest to the fact that I look pretty silly in an apron, a cigar, with a kitchen full of pots and pans and everything else, but when the time comes, it's all we laid out. It was good eats. So, my sermon basically has two titles. And if you get lost, like I said before, I do apologize, but it made sense to me. You know, I've been told that if you put everybody together, everybody has about 2 square feet, and that's their world, that's where they live. You know, when people think out of the box get a chance to come out of that little 2 square feet. But in my 2 square feet, and prepare this message, so it makes sense to me. And so I tried to explain to Linda, because she used to type all my papers for school, and she asked me, what does this mean? And I said, well, if you don't understand, I don't know, but I do. It makes sense to me. Okay? She said, well, your professor might not understand. I go, well, I need to fix it then. But recipe for life, for cooking with God. The definition of recipe is a set of instructions for preparing a particular dish, including a list of ingredients required. Figuratively speaking, it's something which is likely to lead to a particular outcome. It was basically a late Middle English from Latin, literally meaning receive. Okay, first used as an instruction in a medical prescription. So basically, put the little thing on a medical prescription and you were to receive or take these pills, blah, 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 blah. Or how the medications were mixed. Back in the old days, a lot of this stuff was prepared at the pharmacist directly, and then not like it is now where you go and pick up a pre-processed pill. They actually would actually put the ingredients together, make it up, and you would take it. Hopefully you were going to live. What I want to do is kind of break it down in regards to how it relates to me, to my understanding in regards to cooking, kind of like a few basic processes. And the first process is instructions and ingredients required, IIR. Okay, ingredients. What is needed for the recipe of life for cooking with God? First thing we need to do is to gather them together. Now, it's not too terribly hard to gather these recipes or these ingredients together because there's only basically 2 ingredients. Okay? The first ingredient is the base of all that should be mixed with life. I mean, it is like the flour when you're doing biscuits, so to speak. Now, I don't mean to understand my message here. I don't mean to bring God to our level as much as I am trying to bring us up to their level, to his level. But this worked for me when I was preparing. So it's the base of all that we need. First ingredient is the base of all that we need when we are cooking with God. It is the flour in biscuits. It is the chocolate cookies, because that's probably the most common flavor. It is just that base of all. And that base is God, Christ Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. The second ingredient, which is important, but not as important as the first, is you, me, or us. Okay? The 2 ingredients are designed to work together for a particular outcome. Scripture tells us, basically, that that's, you know, we have a purpose, we have a destiny. There's an outcome for our lives that need to be fulfilled, and it's the process by which we live our life out and how we get there. The base ingredient, God, can, will, and does exist without the second. Okay, basically what I'm saying is in Hebrews 13:8, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Okay, no other ingredients are needed to make God any better. He is the best he can be, no more, no less. The right and perfect consistency. On the other hand, the second ingredient, us, you, me, we need to be enhanced. Our flavor needs to be, as Reverend Wagowski says, kicked up a few notches. Okay? You probably watch them and see you guys with a little bit of authority, a little bit of style. And I've got a lot of authority, I've got a lot of style. The second aspect of this is the instructions. Follow the directions. Do not try to add ingredients that are not called for. No disrespect, but as I heard someone say a long time ago, keep it simple. Okay? That's me, excuse me. Okay? Do not include something that will upset the perfect combination of you and God. You and God are a perfect combination together. Don't try to upset. Don't upset. Okay? Don't try to bring things in or add things that are not needed. Okay? Worldly ingredients added to a godly recipe will clash. It just doesn't work. In other words, you can't serve God in the world. You can't serve God in the world. You know, Scripture tells us that, we need a hot or cold, or lukewarm. God just can spit us out of his mouth. One time just, taking a bite of something that was just nasty. You know? Lord, because I made some things that poured down the sink or throw in the trash and before Linda's gotten home or before anybody's come over or anything else like that. It's kind of like, what are you doing? Like, we're catching that hairball, trying to cut that thing up to get it out, just to get rid of it. It just doesn't work. Mixing. It's my favorite part. When I'm in the kitchen, usually a cigar, not lit, because I'm like, no smoke in the house, but pots and pans and dishes and ingredients, everything's out everywhere. And it's just, I'm organized. Because I think I got this is what you do. Mixing. When the two are mixed together, there is something that happens. There is a change. There is a reaction. What happens is the two ingredients, God and man, they blend, they meld together. Okay? Something new is formed. When we add God, we are added with God into that mixing bowl of life, so to say. I was going to try to get this big spread out here at this table, all these mixing bowls and everything like that. And on the way here, I thought it would be really cool to have a globe set up. Pop that globe top off, actually make that mixing bowl as an example of a mixing bowl of the world, pull the sticks aside, but it didn't happen to have a globe. So, something new is formed. Parts connect and attach themselves. Basically, when you're watching the Food Network, Alton Brown, he's kind of like the science guy cooking at work. Love this guy, man. He's always talking about this, about that. I always have these boards up and these different type of formulas and stuff. He talks about how sugar reacts to this, sugar reacts to that, this attaches to that, that attaches to this. It's a pretty good show in regards to how things work, how things react, and what reactions you get when you add the right things and what happens when you add the wrong things. If you heat up chocolate too long, how it gets, too thick or nasty, doesn't get, shiny and clear. If you whip sugar too much, you create too much hair, and it floats and it drops and this and that. And it's all these really cool ideas. So, got to remember that blending it together, there was a process by which we put it together. The base ingredient, God, brings us close to himself. Basically, like when you mix some eggs and sugar together, the sugar attached to the eggs, you get a big molecule outside. Things kind of connect and grow. Things kind of happen. A sweet aroma, a pleasant taste, an acceptable fragrance is what we become when we abide in the recipe of life and cook with God. When we are added to what God has for us, when we are added to God and we allow God to add it to us, because it's a choice that we have to accept or to reject it. But when we choose to accept it, there's this sweet fragrance. This almost palatable, I guess you would say, flavor or essence or aroma that is so beyond our concept, so beyond our imagination, that happens that it's I treat it to God's smile. Gotta love this smile. It's like walking to grandma's house, man. Chocolate chip cookies, pumpkin pie, or blueberry cheesecake. Ephesians 5:2 says, "And we walk in love, just as Christ also loved you, and gave himself for us as an offering and sacrifice to God as a fragrant aroma." When we are poured into that mixing bowl of life and start cooking with God, we're sacrificing everything that the world has to offer in order to come together with him. When it happens, we become a sweet aroma, a sweet fragrance. We're to be like Christ. torn our hearts and our lives up to be mixed in with what the world we're trying to do, to be mixed in with what God wants us to do in our obedience and direction in life that He has planned for us. We also know, based on the structure and makeup of the second reading of us, how we're blended, the active with God and the Spirit. Basically, what I'm saying is, each individual person is blended a little bit differently with God, and or God blended with them. Some may need to be folded over gently. You know, sometimes you put meringue together with chocolate or something. You have to kind of fold it over together. You don't want to mix it too hard and eat it. Just kind of just want to bring it together just a little bit, enough to kind of, you know, make it right. Okay? And then some might need to be whisked. Some of us need to be whisked a little bit more, you know, kind of turned up, you know, kind of maybe get a little more reaction out of you. Then there's some that just, with all due respect, might need to be beat. And then there are some of us that need to be put in the blender on the light and just have a snuff whip right out of us. You know, it's like making whipped cream. You know, you got the cream, the liquid, pour the sugar, and turn that thing on high. You know, let that baby go and go and go and go and go until it almost clogs up the, you know, the paddles on. So, you know, but we have a loving God and a caring God. And God won't hurt us, but He'll get our attention. He will get our attention. So whether it be folded gently in because that's how you need to be handled, or whether you need to be poured in that Dixie bowl and turn that puppy on high and just go to town, God will get our attention. Scripture said, a smoldering ember, He will not snuff. A bended reed, He will not break. Our lives are important to God. Okay? God doesn't need us, but He wants us. He wants us to be mixed and blended into our lives. He is the key ingredient to what we need for life, how we live our life. He is the key ingredient when we are cooking with God, because hence the word cooking with God. Keep in mind that the directions are specific. There's a time limit and a process that must be followed. We don't have all day, guys. Scripture tells us that our life here on earth is just but a flash in the pan and blink of an eye. You know, 80 years might just be as the wind blowing by. We don't have a lot of time. And I don't say this to frighten or scare people, but I just say this to bring the attention. You know, our 40, 50, 60, 70, 80, 800 years really isn't all that long. That's 2007. I graduated 30 years ago this year. You know, I have to date myself, but wow. You know, I have Linda's granddaughters in 6th grade, 7th grade. 7th grade, Megan? I mean, 5 years she graduated, you know? Some of you don't have kids who get ready to drive cars. You don't think about licenses. You just don't have a lot of time. Some of you are newly married, and that first year or 2 years have gone by, it's kind of like, wow, where did it all go? You don't have a lot of time. Okay, so you need to stay blended. You need to stay in the mix of things. The blending of God and man has been a trial and error process. But you know something, that trial and error has been passed down from generation to generation. It works. Scripture tells us it works. Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Noah, Moses, the prophets, the disciples, there's a blending. A blending that works. Now, this isn't a cookbook. It's a direction to that mixing with God. It tells us how to go about doing it, how, you know, when it's done right, things work, and when it's not done right, things don't. It works. It's a time-tested process, and it works. In the process of mixing, the flavors change. The longer God and you stay together and marinate, the flavor of life becomes more bold and a lot more noticeable. The closer you walk with God, the longer you stay attached with Him, the deeper you get in that connection with God, the more people are going to notice that aroma, the flavor, that smell, especially when you shower. But the world may try to add its ingredients to mellow or change the flavor. Don't add what is not needed or not required. You can be the only ingredient in your life if you want, but how flavorful can your life be? There might be some great meals, so to speak, you know, some things that tasted great in your life, some fantastic flavors within the scope of your life, but what was the base ingredient? Where did it come from? The ingredients were man-made. Many of us experienced a lot of that by our past lives and issues. The ingredients were artificial flavor, synthetic or genetically engineered. And what was it? Was it money, lust, greed, pride, work, women, men, drink, drugs, depression, rejection, abuse? All those things the world has to offer. How did we mix this world? Why did we mix it with world waters? And over a period of time, these ingredients mixed together with a fragile ingredient such as yourself, because we are fragile, takes us home. Colossians 3:2 says, we need to set our mind on the things above, not on the things that are on earth. So if you break it down, you remove all the packaging, all the artificial flavor and color. What do we break it down? We break it down to we are just bland. It's a bland tasting, no flavor person, and not even salt can help. But when we add God to our lives, we become this beautiful, tasting, cold ice cream in the house. We're made out of that. Okay? You can never have too much God, but you can have too little. John the third chapter, John the Baptist is talking, he says that God, must become greater and greater. And then that he, John, or us, basically if you apply ourselves to this aspect, we must become less and less. Okay? We don't need to be the key ingredient. We can't be the key ingredient. God has to be. But we need to be a part of what God is making. Because if we're not, then life is just going to pass us by. We're never going to reach our full potential. We're never going to be that souffle, that macaroni and cheese, that whatever you love being a part of, you know, whatever flavors, you know, enhance your palate. God is able to enhance your heart in the same way. It says that Christ has come from heaven and is greater than anyone else. We are of the earth, and our understanding is limited to the things of this earth. That's why it's so hard that we really turn around and find ourselves attached to the things of the earth. Find ourselves kind of blended in that. But all the best meals I have ever had needed to have some heat lamps in them. This is probably part of the process of the recipe. Not only do you have the ingredients, you know, that are required, and the instructions, and the follow directions, and the mixing and the blending, not through the time you got to figure out what to deal with. What does it take now? You know, you can eat cold soup, cold pumpkin soup all the time, but there's a process by which you have to add a little heat to that in order to get those spices and those ingredients kind of mixed together, and it needs to be cooled down a little bit. It's the same thing with our lamb chop. There's a little heat added to the lamb chop, okay? Eating flame does a lot to bring out the flavors and the beauty of the food. You know, when we're stuck into the fire, you know, there's a lot of scripture indication in regards to tempering steel and metal and sword and stuff like that. But the process of doing this sermon, I'm thinking about when I was, you know, cooking different things. How much heat is needed to cook what I'm making? What happens when I cook it? Whether it be on the barbecue, on top of the stove, or in the oven. When you put flame or heat to what you're making, the flavors cut out. Everything kind of just melts together to create this finished product that is just one of the best tasting things you can have. And that's how last year goes. And a little bit of heat is there. You know? It's not like God is picking the shovel up, you know, and you're the coal going into a big furnace on the steam engine. No, He's with you in that heat. He's with you in that because you're mixed with Him. Blended with Him. You're a part of Him. You're not alone in the fire. When you are the flavor of perfection, God is there with you, creating the thing of beauty within you. When you want to flame of this world, you can be cooked beyond recognition. You can be burned in my presence. The world wants to eat you up, spit you out, man. You want to burn your bad. The world leaves a lot of scars. A lot of scars. God can take that burned carcass of your life and bring new sweet aromas and bold flavors if you love it. He can take that. I mean, cooking some pork chops in the day with a really nice plum or grape puree for a can. We had some friends over some left over, and somebody recommended using it on pork, so we actually marinated the pork. And the pump is on the grill. cover that puppy up, just let that thing sit and smoke and smoke and smoke. It's going to be great. We've got to put the mower to the back side of that with our porch. Goes through the smoke. But you know, because of the way that looks, what was there was fresh, perfectly cooked meat. Perfectly cooked. Just, I mean, it was the best I ever had. Sure, it got burned a little bit, but you know, you kind of take those layers off. You kind of keep them part of your life. And you kind of just let that kind of away. It was new, fresh. Things there. Wow, pretty good. Really, that's cool. What makes the final come out? What makes the final outcome taste so good? It is the action of taking part in the process of putting it all together. I was kind of sitting at the table and I was kind of thinking about how to kind of put all this together and what to do. And started thinking about the process of putting it all together. For me, that's what it tastes so good. This is the process of becoming part of it. You know, it's like, you know, you're part of building your house. You take stock in building your house. You take stock in helps raising your children. Take stock in building it. As long as you are part of something, especially when you're a part of it, God has for your life, the final outcome is so rewarding because you did it. You know, like I said, but God doesn't need us, but He chooses to work through us. There's a part that we have to. We have to do our part. I mean, we just can't sit on the couch, you know, with the remote, okay, Dad, make me rich. And with that old, you know, buy a ticket. I'm going to win a lot of buy a ticket, you know. Come and get a job. Go put a tie on, go fill out an application. You know, if you really need a car, get a job and buy one. You know, practical application. We've got a part of it, but a practical application can become real. God is sweet and flavorful to our power of our heart. Okay? We taste His joy, His peace, His love, His comfort, His hope, His strength, His protection. We taste that within our hearts because we are blended with Him. We are part of it. We are part of what He wants for our lives and the lives of others. You know, I and God are our own little souffle, so to speak. I mean, our flavors are blended together for my life. But take me and add me to Benzema. God sees fit, the flavor becomes more enhanced. Maybe for me, maybe for them, maybe for the world. Or maybe our blending together might help Sylvia. Our blending together might help Chris. Our blending together definitely needs to help Sean.
Sweet.
See, I'm the big 10 bucks. I'm like, you know,
yeah, it's 20 for you.
So, but see, there's an aspect by which different flavors can be added for the main course. And that main course is in the fellowship of love. It's a unified body of certain groups. Those flavors will be added later, but they're flavors that work, they're flavors that come together. You know? You continue to add those flavors to make something bigger and better. But those flavors need to be attached together. We also become a sweet honey to Him, to God. It is Christ Jesus who is the spice and flavor in our life. He is the base for all that we are and all that we will become. Blended together, we can become something mighty for His word to work. When the world tries to cook your goose, remind the world that you will bring dessert. It will be dessert of mercy pie, topped with grace olive oil. Because we've been down that road, that we know. It's because of the mercy and the grace that Jesus shows us that we can actually stand up and be attached to them. The mercy pie and grace alone is made with the key ingredient, the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, the perfect ingredient for the recipe of life. When you cook with God, a lot of good stuff happens. When you cook with the world, terrible things happen. Might be for a brief period of time. And I hope you understand the heart of this message. I hope you understand what I was trying to bring across in regards to that. I really kind of wanted to the barbecues and have the whole thing set up and actually be able to give the message while I was cooking. So at the end, you guys can kind of fix the message to take your bellies. Because they say, I'm labeling my stomach.
I ate the
burnt
stuff too.
I'm sorry?
I ate the burnt layer too.
And a little carb is good every once in a while, right? So, understand my heart that we need guns to be a part of life. We need to live across the street. Because if we don't, we're just going to be the land for me, land. Opium goes to be forever. And these things like the guy who requires to be afraid of the government's life. We, his natural people, we give flavor to other people in this world. And if we don't give that flavor, as we are not only asked, but we are required to do, our responsibility falls on us. Now, we all have a full spice cabinet. All we have to do is reach in and find out what spice is worth, what actually works for flavor, what scripture has to offer us. I mean, there is so many spices out there. You know, so many things to add, actually, to our food with the reality of cooking. I mean, we have a herb garden in our backyard, and we want to pick fresh herbs and add to it, and flavors change, and things happen, and sometimes you put the wrong herb in the wrong food, and things happen, you know? But God's never going to be the wrong place. God's never going to be the wrong base for anything. And Scripture tells us that Jesus is the cornerstone. He is that base for in our lives. So I hope you understand my heart, and hear what I have to say in regards. And as you go out today, a lot of us usually pretty much take off and go after church and go out with some fellowship and some food. And just remember when you're here, George.
Events are also when you talk about mixing with God. Well, God doesn't force us to mix with Him. He doesn't want to force us.
Right.
And if we don't mix with Him, we're also, like you said, Satan's out to rob, kill, and steal. And if we decide not to mix with God, then we are opening the door to that other side.
Very true. Very, very, very true. That is very true. And I think what happens is, in some regards, you almost force yourselves to be mixed with the enemy. Because, I mean, you know, my son-in-law used to tell me, if you're standing still, you're not moving forward. You're actually going forward. And if you're not blending with God, you receive that. And God called us, and we have to respond. It's our action to respond. But God's always constant. Always constant. Don't get down to butts about it. Always constant. It's us that have to kind of fall into that too.
When we don't mix with God, when bad things happen, a lot of times then we blame God for these things that happen. It's not the way it is. It's a lot of times it's our fault for not doing our part. And once they open that door, so let's say the man. God is killing us. The only thing keeping us alive is God is keeping us alive. And even before He saved us, before He knew us, He saved us the way we were. He was waiting for us to come right. But if we don't open up to that, we could be in a major trouble.
That's a very good point. So as you go out today and you think about this, and you smell the different flavors, you walk into your kitchen and where you might be, and things kind of, aromas kind of come. And just remember, you are that sweet fragrance from truth. You abide and follow that which He has for you. So, let's pray. Father, we thank You for this time, Lord. Thank You for coming to share our hearts, Father. And just thank You, Lord, that we can choose to be voted with You, Father, and that's what You require. That's what You desire most foremost for us, is to be blended with You. We thank You that You are that base in which all life exists by. That You are that base in which all life can progress and move on and be fruitful by. And I would just pray for each and every person here, Father, that they would just allow themselves to be attached to You, to be mixed and fold, to be blended, to be that sweet aroma of the world needs, to be that sweet fragrance that the families and their lives need, to be that sweet, sweet taste of honey, so to speak, that gave Himself need and no one knew, Father. The lives will be full of rich. That they will have, Father God, those different ingredients in their lives, Father God, that comes with knowing, that will be the joy, the peace, the love, the strength, the kindness, the patience. All those things, Father God, that come because of what You bring as the base for life. So we thank You. Just be an encouragement to those this week, Father God, that You would bless them throughout the day. Protect their hearts and their minds, Father God. Protect their lives. We just come against the enemy that we try to steal, kill, and destroy. We come against the enemy that we try to change those flavors that we now have, Father. and everybody's full of rich. So we thank you in the name of your prayer, Jesus.